Jared with Ezekiel's Wheel and the 15-Minute Rev. Happy Friday. Got a little bit of a KC and the Sunshine Band going there for you. Hope you guys have had a great week. And actually, this is kind of a little bit different for us because we're usually streaming over on YouTube and Facebook at the same time, but I got a strike. Okay, so I'm not on there temporarily just for this week. But you know what? God is really, really good because God uses all things for the good of those who are in Christ. And we're kind of taking it as an opportunity to kind of migrate you over onto our new page, which I'll be discussing with you in a second. But I want to tell you a little bit first of all about what we do here at Ezekiel's Wheel. We're actually here to train you up, to move you through the seasons of God's heart very, very, very quickly, to try to teach you the ways of God, what to expect between January 1 and April 30th versus April 30th into September 15th, which is C2, the worst time of the year. By the way, we just came out of it, into C3, which is September 15th through about November 1st, and then November 1st through December 31st is C4, actually. So we have a lot of angelic movement happening right now, if you haven't noticed, within your dreams and different things with a lot of prophetic activity. Things like that, that's to be expected within C3, C4. But that's what we do. That's what we're here to do for you. And so we're talking about that. Also talking to you a little bit about where we're moving you over into. You can never miss a broadcast of the 15-Minute Rev. All you have to do is go on over to ezekielswheel.org and scroll down to where you hit the little microphone thing here, and you'll see our video. And then down at the bottom, you'll see a Remind Me button. And you can click on that and you can give your email or a text and you'll be notified immediately if you want to watch us live. But we're trying to help people migrate over to our website to watch us live over there to kind of keep you safe, keep us safe, kind of a thing with all the censorship going on. And so you can watch us there, or if you want to catch a replay, you can, because we don't always put the replays up right away. It usually takes us about a week to put the replays up. So if you want to catch them immediately, go over to my Rumble page, which is at MissyH123. I'll be repeating this, and I'll also be putting up a video on YouTube. That's about the only thing you're going to find on YouTube for a while until we get the censorship stuff taken care of through our white hat government. And so that's a way to find me over there, MissyH123. You can subscribe to my Rumble page and catch the replays over there. But if you want to watch me live again, go over to ezekielswheel.org, hit the Remind button. You can be notified via text on your cell phone or on email, your choosing, and you'll be able to watch us live. So good evening, or excuse me, good afternoon, if I can get it right. Definitely welcome to the 15-Minute Rev this afternoon. I'm glad you guys joined me. A lot of stuff going on right now. And you know, I kind of held back on my last rev. Today, I'm not going to. I'm going to let her rip with the truth like I should have done. And I did last time. It was just a little bit more subdued because I just thought, well, I guess I need to dial it back. And God said, no, you don't. You need to tell the truth. You need to stand up like I called you to do. And I thought, whoa. Like so many of you are probably thinking, which brings me actually back into the topic that we're talking about today. It's called Battle Ready Sheep, Striking the Jackal, and Graphene in Your Food. Did you know they're putting graphene in your cereals? Graphene's in the vaccine, so you need to be very, very careful. And I'll get to that in a second. I'll talk to you a little bit about that. So graphene, though, in your food. Can you believe that? Graphene in your food. So new link, talk to you about that. You got that, gonna subscribe to that. But what's hitting you through witchcraft before we get to the graphene? Have you noticed that witchcraft has been through the roof the last couple weeks? Why? Because our nation is about to be taken back by the white hats. And if you haven't been reading the news, many supply ships have been delayed, but now are being brought into ports like Florida and Texas to unload supplies for Americans. White hats are making a difference. I'm so happy for you. Happy for me. Happy for us. So the white hats are being used by God to not only break us through into the natural, but by the Spirit, as intercessors and frontrunners are standing up into position and we're knowing how to pray. We're praying and praying and pressing on through into the new. And you're seeing it in the news right now. So you're probably seeing breakthroughs, even though it's been a hard fight. You're starting to see the rewards of your hard work right now. And so that's how you can determine, you know, where you're at in the spirit, is by watching the news to see things that you're praying about and watching the shift happen in the news. That's what our teams do too. So breakthrough will always occur in the spirit first. And so whatever the enemy tries to do in the natural is indicative of what's going on by the spirit. If you want to know where you're at and how well, how effective your prayers are, but he's always going to try to hit you, no matter what. He always hits in on the head of the, on the head of the nation, where DC is the head of the nation, Florida and California are the feet of the nation. Quincy City is the heart of the nation, and Texas is the womb of the nation. So what happens at the head trickles down like the oil on the beard of Aaron, and you can kind of gauge what's going on around you by what's happening in your prayers. So that's a good way to gauge that. But we're winning as the deep state's losing its momentum. They're also losing their funding. So they're acting like a dying animal on its last leg. That's the globalist, by the way. That's the globalist. And if you haven't been catching, Gateway Pundit, that's a good thing to catch. You can also catch QAnon over on Telegram, I think it is. Simon Parks, Charlie Ward are talking about it. So everybody around the world, you're noticing everybody's standing up now. The countries are standing up. A lot of people, England has thrown down the vaccine mandate. They're not even participating anymore. So that's what's going on there. Another part of the news cycle that's been touching base on Facebook getting hacked. White hats have hacked into Facebook, which is an indicator that they're evidence gathering for John Durham. And everybody thought John Durham was a farce. I didn't know what to think. I'm being as honest as you are. I mean, I think that, to be honest with you, I think any good military keeps a lot of things under wrap while they're gathering evidence, because you don't ever want to let the enemy know what you're doing if you're going to prosecute him, right? So that's one of the things that we've observed in the last couple of years while we've been watching this whole thing unfold with Trump. And everybody thought he was a farce. Well, all along he was working behind the scenes. So white hats are sensing also we might have a short-term supply shortage with groceries, gas, things that we can buy for Christmas and things like that. Now's probably a good time to catch up and stock up on things like that, whether they be staple goods, paper goods, water. You might want to have some in excess. Just don't go hoard, but definitely be wise and have things on, you know, on hand in case you need them. So you might want to stock up just in case. But we're heading actually into the best years of our lives. I don't know if you're aware about that, but yeah, we're winning, and it's just like the prophet said would happen. I mean, and I don't know about you, but we're heading into a time as well where the body must be equipped for fighting dimensional warfare. That's another part of this conversation, I think, that's a little bit more in depth, but we're teaching our teams about it. If you haven't learned and understood about dimensional warfare, you might want to go check it out through Daniel Duvall. He gets into dimensional warfare. There's also a gentleman by the name of William Schlollenberg, I think is his last name. I can get my video next time I get on here. I should have had it ready today. I apologize. But he was actually an ex-Satanist, and he became a minister for Christ. And he teaches about everything that they did, William Schlollenberg. And he teaches about all their feasts. He teaches about why they do what they do. And he teaches about dimensional warfare. So you're going to go check out his website. He's always keeping the body abreast about what's going on with each season as we move through God's heart and through God's seasons while combating the enemy, because the enemy always runs alongside parallel to God. He always copies everything that God does. And so dimensional warfare, something you're going to want to educate yourself on while you're tracking with the true prophets. And, you know, even though we've had to learn about the courtrooms of heaven, I think the courtrooms of heaven are just one aspect of the tools that we're having to learn in this season as we're becoming seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so I don't know about you, but for me, this has been a really high pressure 2 years with regard to how fast God has moved us out of the old into the new with regard to new tools, understanding new places in the heavenlies, understanding the dynamics of our authority, how to maintain it, how to maintain our position in love, to where we actually are effective as front runners and as intercessors. And so that's part of also understanding God's heart. I mean, there's so many different components within it, because I was expressing to our teams this morning, you know, when you're moving through God's heart, there are a lot of moving parts. A lot of moving parts, pardon me, that are moving around within your times, dimension, realms, frequency, seasons, cycles, and planes of the spirit while you're moving through C1, C2, C3, C4. And the witches and Satanists are coming in and they're trying to hold you back, especially by messing up your ability to move forward, past, present, and future, things like that. So you're having to learn about all these different moving parts and how to fluidly move through them all and track them all by the spirit through discernment all at once, and knowing how to reset everything and keep everything in working order so they don't ever get you off track again. We're going to get into that here in a second too. So stay with me. So we're heading into the time where the body must be equipped for fighting dimensional warfare. And this doesn't include just the courtrooms of heaven or that type of praying. It's a type of warring that helps us to stay right on top of the witchcraft to where they can't ever mess with our timing ever again. Because I don't know about you, Frontrunner, but for me, I've known it's what my book Fragmented was about. I knew that the enemy's main strategy was to get us out of timing as frontrunners. And how did he do that? He did that by hitting us with trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma the last 30 years. And if you didn't get better or you didn't run to Jesus for healing, you got bitter. So we're also entering into a time right now where the great falling away is occurring, where people are they're losing confidence in God. Why? Because he's the only person that can help us. But they're losing confidence because they've chosen not to get better. Instead, they've gotten bitter and they've lost power, because when you get bitter, you step back into the flesh and you get stuck in its limitations where there's no power. So that's why God was pressing us up, and he's pressing us, pushing us through, trying to get us to stand up out of the old and into the new. That's what all this is about. So this is what they did to front runners to hinder us from getting into place 30 years ago by trying to fragment us with trauma. And it's taken God 30 years to heal our hearts, to get us into a healthy emotional place, ready for battle, to where we would be standing back up, but with new momentum and new insight, with new power because of having been endued with love at deeper levels. This is the place of being battle ready that he was talking about. It's the new place where we're now standing for the few who have been obeyed until this point. And we're standing actually on a springboard into the glory, readying society for revival. Pardon me. Because for the first time in history, believe it or not, society is awakening to the truth between good and evil. They're able to see the parallels and the paradigm that is occurring right now in front of them, and they're actually becoming hungry for God again. When God said that to me today, I was like, really? And I'm not trying to doubt it, but it was like, really? Not that I don't want it either. I do want that. But it's just so hard to believe with what we see in the news and things like that. And so anyway, in the news, let's go on into the news. Speaking of the news and the good news, I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview about what's in the news the last couple of days. But, you know, our founding designer of this platform was found to have donated $400 million toward the swing state manipulations of the elections. That was the first topic in that. White hats also found out that there are now six corrupt Supreme Court justices with only one left, which is Clarence Thomas. God bless him. They told us that might happen at the beginning of this. And they're talking about vaccine mandates. Many are dying from the poison placed inside of it. And if that isn't enough, if I can talk correctly, if that isn't enough, it's been found that they're placing graphene into our cereal, which is proven by a live YouTube video. I saw it yesterday, actually, where a lady had actually crushed some Raisin Bran. And when she crushed it, she did it with a magnet. And then she put the magnet under the paper of the crushed cereal. And wherever she moved the magnet, the cereal moved. So they definitely are putting graphene in your cereal. I've had to throw a couple boxes out. So take them seriously. The White Hats told us they would do this. Actually, the enemy told us they would do this to us. They were going to start putting the graphene and the vaccine in foods. But the Lord's saying, take them seriously and heed God when he reveals things to you and do what he says. It'll save your life. It can save your life. Take him seriously. The enemy's that arrogant. He's not a fool. So, migrants are also trying to cross the borders as gas prices surge. Let me see. They're talking about vaccine coercion going to get worse. And Biden's approval rate down to 36%. And oh my gosh, that is something too. Yeah. Keep it coming, love. We wanted to go down. But yeah. Approval rate down to 36%. So, you know, the White House wants you to know that, no, the U.S. is not on its knees. Thought I'd just throw that in there. I thought that was kind of funny. But the U.S. is not on its knees, actually. The White Hat military is still in control. And it's actually just as Dr. Chuck Pierce stated that we would see changes in the natural actually starting this next Monday. So be abreast of that and be alert and be paying attention to that. So we're going to start seeing things happen in the natural now, because good change is definitely on the way. So don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated. I know there are a lot of things happening right now with witchcraft, and they're trying to stop you and frustrate us all by holding back the things you've been praying for. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as God's bringing us out of this old place. And actually, you've already started entering into the new place. But sometimes the fight is so fierce because of the threat that what the new place holds for you, which the new place holds for each one of us, is the glory of God. It's the glory of God. We're stepping into our Garden of Eden, as if you have been obedient up until this point and doing what God has asked you to do. So with that, pardon me, let's jump into Jeremiah 26:1 through 27:22, where God's talking about listening and turning and learning to heed. That's what he's talking about. And this was a time in Jeremiah's day where God had been very, very patient with Christians around the world. And he's been waiting on, and he's just like he's doing it right now. He's been very patient with us. And he's been waiting for us to stand back up into a warfare position so that he can make his battle ready and not being afraid of anything. But the question is, will we obey? Will we obey? And because the Lord had noticed that many of sheep had been lost in the wilderness wandering, and they had been just kind of wandering around while they were wandering when God was going to show up and do the thing that he told them he was going to do. But God's been waiting on us to stand up and show up and grow up. He's been waiting for us to do what we said we would do, because he's done what he said he was going to do. And the sheep have not liked the message, like at all. As a matter of fact, it was just like in Jeremiah's day. Instead of obeying God, they were trying to execute the true prophets. They were getting mad at the true prophets because we weren't telling them what they wanted to hear. And sometimes the truth hurts, but it'll also set you free if you're wise enough to heed the word and grow up and stand up and become fearless. There is nothing to fear. There's no fear in love. So when you listen to the prophets, you're blessed. But if you want to be successful in the kingdom, you're going to also have to learn to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Do we want what's right for us and the nation, or what's popular? What stream are you going to flow in? Hold on 1 second. But that's what he's saying right now in this hour. He's saying, do you want what's popular, or do you want what I'm saying is true? What do you want? Exactly what is it that you want? And so the Lord is saying, if you want what's right, then you're going to follow what I say is right, not what's right in your own eyes. Or are you going to repeat history like your forefathers? Some of your forefathers did. Because I don't know about you, but my grandfather fought on the beaches of Normandy. And then we saw a generation afterwards kind of think, okay, they're getting into the 60s. They're getting into the free love movement and all these things. And they're trying to do what's right in their own eyes. And it kind of laxed and waned a little bit. And then you kind of had the Vineyard movement start taking out. The Jesus and the Vineyard movement start taking off. And so God was trying to get our attention again, saying, hey, I just brought you out of being attacked by another nation and by almost being brought to your knees by having to get into a second world war where you too were almost enslaved. And then here we go. We're facing it again. I don't believe in repeating history. I believe in learning from history. So the problem with the sheep, and I'm not trying to be rude by saying this, but sheep can be dumb. sometimes. They can be really dumb. They can just aimlessly wander around, going nowhere. And when the shepherd sees this, and this is how they get off by themselves, by the way, because they start getting off focus, they stop, they get distracted easily, they just kind of run around. That's why they have sheep dogs to help corral them and keep them in a grouping. But this is also what causes the shepherd to have to show up with his crook and staff and hook them back into alignment. It's what causes him to have to break some of their legs because they keep wandering off and getting distracted. And I know that sounds unloving, but it's the truth. It is the truth. And sometimes when we don't want to hear the truth is when we really, really do need to hear it, because it's what can save your life in moments of transition. Did you realize that? You're the most vulnerable when you're in transition. Did you know that? Because the devil sure knows it. So in the days to come, or in today's time, I should say, not even to come, it's already happening. We've grown to be sheep who have gotten incredibly selfish. We've gotten self-focused. We're only looking out for ourselves, wanting what we want no matter who we harm. That's what the sheep have done. And forgetting who we hurt sometimes as long as we attain our heart's will. Well, you have to remember, our will is not always God's will. And so when you get in the flesh, this is what lack of paying attention causes. It causes you to digress and you lose focus on God's will, to where you start getting into your own selfish wants and your own selfish desires, and you lose sight of the vision of Christ and where he's placed you within a bigger people group, within a family, a church family or your immediate family, within a nation, within a job, within your calling. You lose focus. And then you get focused on the things of the flesh. And remember, love is others oriented. It's not focused on me, because when I'm attentive to my Father's business, he's attentive to mine. So the Lord is saying, you know, you need to get your focus back on me, back on my will. And you need to get your eyes off you. And it does matter what God wants us to do. God's will matters. Being focused on God's will matters. And just because nothing's happened to you yet, or just because you're thinking God's not paying attention, doesn't mean you won't reap a harvest for your sin when you've gotten caught up in the flesh. Because lack of focus can take you places you never dreamed you would wind up. I'm not kidding. I've met people who were raised on the straight and narrow, and they were raised under godly parents, and they got mixed up with the wrong people. They lost focus. They got caught up with people who really weren't focused on love. They weren't focused on Christ. And they wound up in jail, some in prison, some doing really heinous things. And unfortunately, you know, just because your harvest hasn't come yet doesn't mean it's not on the way. We live by a season of seed plus time equals harvest. And so God is saying, it does matter when you're focused on me and when you're not. Because God's consequences can't be squelched, not in the courts of heaven, and sometimes not even by our repentance. Because we can repent all day long after sinning, but we also have to remember that there are consequences for sin. And no matter how much we repent, the consequences will always stay intact. Did you understand that? And a good example of this is when that woman, and I forget her name, Carla Faye Tucker, I believe her name was, she murdered people. And then she got saved in prison. Well, she was on death row. So there are consequences for sin. She still reaped what she sowed. So don't ever think for a second you're getting away with anything. None of us ever get away with anything in this life, ever. And we need to stay focused in this hour because of the callings on a lot of our lives, but also because of the mandate on this nation. God is saying, I'm not wasting time on people who aren't focused on me when I'm not the passion of their heart. Instead, those that are self-focused and they're always about their own business instead of being about my business. This is imperative in this hour. So this is why it's important to listen and obey. So it's the vessel that listens and follows the pathways of a holy God that he'll use to promote and lead an entire people group back towards sanity and justice. Are you that person? But we have to obey if we want to see the results, because everything Jesus did was done on the cross. So for those still asleep and still waiting on him to do something, you need to get off your duff and stand up and fight and quit being sheeple. The ones who will be safe in this hour are the ones who will be abiding in God's glory. They're the ones listening and getting into action. And you know, it's interesting because Jeremiah also faced these same circumstances, same types of circumstances, because he stood his ground for truth. How willing are you to stand your ground for truth? To what extent are you willing to pay in order for truth to come marching on? Remember, the Lord said a couple revs back, the truth is marching on. And I don't want to get left behind because of my lack of obedience or lack of attention. When God said he was going to show up, he's calling me to show up and grow up and just obey. And Lord said, this is not a time to make up your own rules as you go along. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he tells me that some of the sheep in society have or will have always been misaligned. Some by bad company, because they chose to keep bad company when others were just ignorant. But the Lord says, now you know. Your eyes are being opened to all truth, and hence God is expecting you to stand. Having done all, stand. Standing on your most holy faith, and to keep decreeing and praying and standing and fighting. And the Lord says, you do not want to get out of the will of God in this hour, because although things around us might look hairy, the safest place to be is in the will of God. I'm serious. And God has lifted each of us up for such a time as this. And to whom God calls, he qualifies. So when you're in the will of God, there's much peace and joy. And you really don't care less about your physical safety, because you know God's got you. God has got you because you know God is there with you. So you become fearless. You become fearless in love, which is right where God wants you to be. And this is what God wants the enemy to see, is how fearless his people are, because there is no fear in love. Which brings us to 2 Thessalonians 3:1-18, and it talks about conflict, confidence, and command. Are you in conflict right now? Because anybody who seeks to live for Christ will always have enemies. Trust me, any nation that does, any individual that does, any church group that does, if you're on fire for Christ, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you're on fire for Christ and you don't have enemies, you're not flowing. Something's wrong. But if you're on fire for Christ and you're flowing in the Holy Ghost and people are getting saved and things like that around you, and the Spirit is moving and people are manifesting around you out of the woodwork, then you're doing something right. You're over the target. You can bet right now. Because he's hammering down on those ministries that are over the target. They're people that refuse to back down from the truth. We're standing up in our most holy faith. And we can't help but tell the truth, because it's like a fire in our bones right now. Especially if you're a truth prophet. You've got to say what's in your spirit, or it will just burn up inside of you. It'll drive you nuts. Pardon me. But you're always going to have enemies. And you can't count on that. We can't count on. The one thing we can count on is prayer, because prayer is our weapon. So we know where society stands in their stance with Christ, but there are also people in the church who think themselves righteous. So they become enemies of God because they're self-made righteous. Because if you remember, only Christ can make you righteous. We are the righteousness of Christ, like that which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. But when we become self-righteous, or when a vessel becomes self-righteous, they become holier than thou. They have a critical eye. They usually operate in a spirit of judgment. They operate under the apparatus of religion, to where they're always going around like they are everybody's judge, jury, and executioner. They know all. They usually operate in the spirit of Jezebel, and they usually drive everybody around them crazy. And they honestly wouldn't know the Lord if he showed up on a donkey. They didn't know him in Jesus' day. Why would they know them now? But Paul had to encounter these types of people. But you know, in his graciousness, he still wanted to get them saved. And that's what I said. He wanted to get them saved. They weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord. They were Pharisees. They were pew sitters, but they didn't know the Lord. They didn't have a relationship with him. They think they're saved, but Paul knew better, and he was trying to love them into the kingdom. And so that's the same that occurred in his day, is the same thing that we're dealing with in today's church. With 80% of the body, I'm thinking that number's going down a little bit because a few of those people are waking up now and they're coming back to Christ. They're waking up and they're stepping back into position, thank God. But we need more. We need more of you doing it. But you're always going to have the people, the naysayers. You're always going to have those who are insecure and those who are operating in demonic entities. They're carnal Christians or they're unbelievers, period. Or through the occult. Those are the main three fronts we're dealing with right now. And they're always going to be coming over those who are hot, hot, hot on fire for Christ. Because the truth that's resounding out of you, I mean, we can't help but be who Christ made us to be. So it offends people. Well, Jesus, you know, told his own people, he said, you know, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to divide with the sword. Mothers from fathers, sisters from brothers. He was cutting down to the quick the truth from a lie and making people stand up in their most holy faith, but in the truth of who he said he was or is and is to come. So that moves us into confidence. You know, God is faithful and he's faithful to us, regardless of whether we're faithful to him. But God's faithfulness to us is in the basis of our faithfulness to him. And if we love him, we're going to keep his word and we're going to learn to be patient in times of trial. Meaning, that basically means to me that my faith isn't based on what he does for me. It's based on who he is. You know, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God will always be good, regardless of what he's doing for me or not. He will always be good. So, in my opinion, he's coming back for a bride who's with him in thick or for thin. We're in it. We're loyal, warm, loyal, loving, godly Christians. And we're sold out. We're not moved by our emotions, whether we're in a valley or on a mountaintop. We're not moved. We're not moved. We're just like, let's go, God. We don't know where you're taking us, but we're in it to win it. And we're right there with you. We're fighting with you. And we're just proud to be a part of it, part of the process. We're thankful that you called us and that you thought enough of us to let us stand beside you. So it's kind of like right now, where many people's prayers have seemed to be put on hold, but in reality, God is building up your endurance. And so it has to do with what he's trying to achieve right now in your life. Is he's trying to help you achieve more endurance and more perseverance. And so that takes the power, twins. Faith and patience while you're praying anything, because he's trying to teach you his ways, remember? And so part of God's ways, while we're learning to decree a thing, is teaching you to go through the mountains and the valleys, and things look bleak sometimes, and things don't look like they're going to happen sometimes. But if you just keep believing, because God is good, he's just a good God, you know that there's always an ending to every test. And so you keep holding on with your most holy faith, regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel. Hence, you're learning God's processes, intercessor, front runner. You're learning to walk through the seasons of God's heart, regardless of what you see or feel. That's part of the process of faith. Those are God's ways. So that brings us to command. And you know, interestingly enough, Warren Wiersbe stated that command was a military order. This is where the church really loses it. The 85%, especially the carnal Christians, boy, they blow a gasket. But this is their problem. This is their problem. Because Paul had to correct this problem in the church against those who kept breaking rank and disobeying order. Because some of the Christian soldiers in Paul's day kept doing this, and they were doing it because everybody thinks they know more than God. Everybody thinks, especially if they have a prophetic gifting. But God is saying in this hour, get in line and quit breaking rank. Respect your leaders and know that I put them there above you to lead you regardless of what gifts I gave to you. Quit trying to play God and quit usurping authority. Meaning, just because you have a prophetic gift, if you don't know how to function within God's order, he won't use your vessel because of your disrespect and dishonor of his leaders. It's called order. It's called order. And God is a God of order. So when you get out of order, you step into God's crosshairs, just like you would under a military commander within the natural army or the Navy or the Marines. And I'm telling you, if you ever did this in the natural, they would eat your lunch. kind of like God's about ready if some of you don't get it together. Because if you don't get it together, he's going to shelve you. And he'll say, I can't use you. I mean, next, he'll go next. And you'll find him stop using. He'll stop flowing through you because you won't obey. So the Lord's saying, it's the same by the Spirit. And the Lord's saying, never let the bad example of others keep you from being a good example. Don't follow the grouple and be a sheeple. Be set apart. Be exemplary. Be outstanding. Be noble. Be good and pure and lovely. Be that person. I don't care what anybody says. If they think you're a geek or whatever they say in this day and time, who cares? You're the one that's going to end up blessed. That's usually what always happens 100% of the time. Which brings us to Psalms 85, 1 through 13. And it talks about the restoration of a nation, which leads to revival. You know, we don't know what crisis the Lord uses to deliver his people. Just like in Jesus' day or in Jeremiah's day or even David's day, it's gone on for generations. He sees the state of the nation. He sees the state of Israel. And then he creates a crisis to force them back to him. Kind of like America right now. So their sins were forgiven, but God was bringing them back to the land, which was difficult. It was hard. Because very often, you know, even though we get our prayers answered and we start coming back into the land, doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges. And very often this caused Israel and America to sometimes want to give up along their pathway back to freedom. Because God had used foreign enemies to chasten them, enslave them sometimes, and capture them. But now God had forgiven their sins. Which leads to revival when our eyes have been opened to see that we're not God. When we get in our flesh, when we lose focus, when we get distracted as a nation, as a people, as an individual, it can cost you greatly because sin has consequences. And this is a time where God is trying to help us learn from our mistakes so that this doesn't ever happen again in future generations. We stay loyal to him as a people under Christ, under God, so that nobody ever gets up into the highest office of the land again, performing witchcraft or Satanism ever again. And if they do, they're quickly outed, spewed out like vomit, because that's not God. But going back to revival, you know, revival doesn't always make life a paradise. Even during revival, it's difficult. Did you ever know that? Revival is a lot of work. There are a lot of leaders, I mean, spiritual leaders. And by the way, this isn't just to be placed on the shoulders of spiritual leaders. Everybody in this country is going to be held responsible for upholding revival and coming back to Christ. But with it, the rewards are endless, man. It brings with it new beginnings, which should lead to new experiences of life with Christ. But it also gives a new responsibility. And I think God is making sure that we can handle that right now as a nation. He's making sure that our hearts are in it and we're passionate for him and that we've seen the truth from a lie. We've seen where it can take us. And are we willing to go there? Are we wanting to go into socialism or you want to come back in under freedom? So God forgives us so that we might fear and serve him again, realizing who's God and who's not. And this occurs when mercy meets truth, or when the King of righteousness and the King of peace meet. Meaning that his truth is what brings peace. When you're awakened to the truth of what God says truth is, he is the way, the truth, and the life. When you become awakened to who he is and how far you've fallen back from the truth or back away from love. Is he able to bring in peace when we come back to love? And he chastens us for our own good, but he'll also be with us until it's all ended as far as all the chastening, helping us to make a new start for his glory. Which helps us to wrap up with Proverbs 25:16, where God talks about when you find honey, eat just enough. Because too much of it will make you vomit. And the Lord says, you know, there's too much of anything is not a good thing if you think about it. You have to have balance in your life. You have to know the difference between truth and a lie, and not a lie was ever balanced, because it's not ever. But between truth and righteousness, I think it's the truth between knowing Christ, knowing the truth, and being merciful. You have to have balance in that. You have to have balance in every facet of life, between being righteous versus self-righteous. You got to have balance, because I never made myself righteous. But the Lord is trying to teach us in this hour. He's the one who really, really does the cleanup. When we know love, he's the one that helps to fix things, and he's the one that brings us back to him if we trust him enough to bring us there. So with that, guys, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope I encouraged you today. Don't forget, we are moving over. Let me see if I can get this back up. I hope that showed up. I'm not sure if it's showing up. There it goes. If you want to never miss a 15-minute rev broadcast, head on over to our Ezekielswill.org page. You want to hit the remind me button at the bottom of the video that says offline. Just scroll down a little bit. You'll find it. It's right there. You can subscribe by text or by email. It'll notify you when we go live, or you can just go into our, let me see back over here. Well, that's not it either. You can go over to my Rumble page. I'll just leave it at that. Go over to my Rumble page at MissyA23. You can catch the replays there. We don't always put our replays back up on here right away, and so we're kind of gravitating off of YouTube. I'm starting to, if I'm hearing the Lord correctly, I don't think YouTube's going to be around much longer. I don't think Facebook is going to be around much longer. And so just to give everybody a heads up on that, if that's where your platform's at, you might need to think about other alternatives to that. So with regard to that, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Until I see you Monday. And if I don't see you Monday, hopefully I will on YouTube, but I'll be doing it from here. We'll find each other somehow. But anyway, have a blessed weekend. Know that I love you. Bye-bye.